Well, there was equal levels pride and heartbreak on Sunday morning after the Socceroos went down 2-1 to Argentina. There at the heart of it was Jordan Canellas. He is the World Cup caller for SEN, and I tell you what, he's won rave reviews thus far for his work throughout the tournament. Happy to say he's been good enough to join me on the line this afternoon. G'day, Jordan.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm really well. You know, we all invest. It might be every 4 years, but we certainly invest. You've probably invested more than others during the course of this World Cup. What's your takeaway feeling? Literally, how are your emotions after that huge game for the Socceroos yesterday morning?
The takeaway is pride, just from the tournament overall. I think I kept thinking about, especially after the Denmark game, and after the Tunisia win, actually, I was thinking about just the journey that the Socceroos have been on. Through qualifying, when we didn't look that great and we sort of dropped a few results there, we should have maybe got the automatic spot, went through the playoffs instead, beat Peru on that penalty shootout, somehow clinched our spot at the very, very end of qualifying in that with the Andrew Redmayne save, and then getting to a World Cup we weren't really expected. You know, we thought maybe if we get a win against Tunisia, that'd be great. Maybe pinch a draw if we can do that against Denmark or France and get lucky, and that'll be a decent little haul for us. And we ended up getting to the round of 16. We ended up finishing level on points with France in the groups. Just difference on the goal difference put us in second. And then getting to play Argentina, which, you know, a lot of people would have thought, oh, you know, maybe if the results had been different in Group C, we could have played Poland and then maybe got into a quarterfinal, which of course would have been great. But I like the fact that we got to play Argentina. We got to test ourselves against the world's best. We got to put our Socceroos on the same field as Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Of course the result was disappointing, but for me, honestly, the disappointment didn't last that long. It turned into pride pretty quickly that we had this World Cup, and it was statistically the best World Cup we've had. So, I think we can look back on this World Cup very fondly.
Am I right in saying, was I looking at the right things, thinking that Argentina were a little rattled for that last 20 minutes?
Yeah, they definitely were. They definitely were. They were, I think they were rattled. They also handled it pretty well. So Australia, in that last, 15 to 20 minutes, we probably could have and should have had more chances at goal. We only really had maybe three or four really good chances in that final phase. A better team would have had more, but Argentina defended it pretty well and made the space for Australia to work into up the ground difficult. They marked our players pretty well, but they were definitely rattled. Absolutely, you're right, yeah. Australia threw everything they had at them at the very end. A little feather in the cap, I suppose, is that we had Argentina on the back foot at the very end.
Yeah. Of all the squad, there might be no one whose reputation has been harmed, but whose reputation has been enhanced the most out of this entire Australian squad, in your mind, Jordan?
The one that springs to mind clearly is Harry Suter, the centre-back. He was immense. Just come back from an ACL injury. He's only played, I think, four games since he's come back from an ACL, and they all happened to be at a World Cup, and he did really, really well. He was on the verge of getting a contract in the Premier League, in the top flight in England, before his ACL injury a year ago. Obviously, that was put on the back burner during his injury and his rehab. But already we're hearing rumours that there are three, maybe four Premier League clubs who are circling. So I'm sure he'll go into a Premier League team, probably in the upcoming transfer window, which opens in January. So he's the obvious one, but then I think there'll be a couple of others here and there. I think some of our attacking players, like Mitch Duke, did really well. He held himself in good stead. Matthew Leckie, Craig Goodwin. Some of these guys are a little older, so I don't know if, you know, they're in their 30s now, if they'll get big moves anywhere. But I think they've certainly earned the respect from Australians, Australian football fans, Australian sports fans, global football fans. But the clear one is Harry Suter.
And wider than that, what about Graham Arnold and his reputation now and around what happens next for, not necessarily for Graham Arnold, because I think whatever way he moves, his reputation has been enhanced, so that'll be fine. But what about for the Socceroos and who takes over there?
After Graham Arnold?
Well, how long do we anticipate Graham Arnold sticking around?
It's a good question. I think he's definitely bought himself a lot more time now, because there were there were people sort of calling before the World Cup, calling for him to step aside, and maybe this is the end of the road for Graham Arnold as the coach of the Socceroos. I think this World Cup has shown maybe that if you really delve into it deeper, and a lot of the football enthusiasts would, that tactically it's still not quite there. It wasn't quite as sharp or as positive as we would have liked just tactically. But I think what we have learned is that he is a great man manager and he's a really good squad manager. And to galvanise this team on a very short turnaround as well, and this has been a sort of a tricky point for a lot of the coaches at the World Cup, is because it is in the middle of all the league seasons, they didn't have much time prior to the World Cup to getting their squads together. It was only about a week lead up into the World Cup. Normally they get, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in the lead up to a World Cup normally. So for him to do it on such a short turnaround, getting his players in late, and putting this team together and making having a good run into the round of 16 shows that he was a great man manager, and he's really got the support of the players. And I think, to answer your question, I think it's bought him enough time that it will probably get him to the Asian Cup, which is the next major tournament. And there's no date yet for that one. They haven't, because there's been a change of host for the host country. So it'll probably be, I'm thinking, the start or mid-2024. So that's another sort of a year and a half or 2 years that Graham Arnold could probably be in the main chair as the Socceroos coach.
Tactically, can you only work with what you've got? You know, without being disrespectful to the players that Australia have, then, you know, that technically and from a football, pure football point of view, they probably don't have the skill of some of the other teams that we've seen at this World Cup. But so does that then limit what you can do tactically to a degree, Jordan?
Yes and no.
Right.
Yes, I suppose that there could have been a better outlook in attacking the game a little more. So both the Argentina game and just the matches in general, where the strategy was to sit back against Denmark and also against Argentina. And I think against Argentina, the strategy definitely was to try and get to halftime at nil-all, which ended up not happening. But some people might have questioned, oh, you know, you could have had more attacking players on the field. He ended up making it a more defensive team. And playing a little more defensively. It also depends on the opposition as well. So
sure.
By the same token, it was also, working with what you've got, knowing that Argentina is, you know, just using that game as an example, knowing that Argentina have better players tactical, technically than the Australian players and skill-wise. You probably looked at the opposition first and foremost, and then just the situation of the tournament. I think it definitely probably did limit Australia a little bit, but I think he also did pretty well. I think he probably got a lot more out of the players than what we expected. I don't think people expected Craig Goodwin and Matthew Leckie particularly to do as well as they did. But then, yes, he also was, to look at the other side of things, he also was limited by not having a defensive midfielder, for example, like a really good, solid defensive midfielder. So a player like Aaron Moy was playing very deep, almost as a defensive-minded player, where he's more traditionally being used up the park as an attacking player. So he was a little hampered in some positions on the ground.
All right. Now, this is a broader one, Jordan. What does it do for football in this country? What does it mean for grassroots football? What does it mean for professional football? What does it mean for the game and its growth and for broadcasters more widely over the next 4-year period?
That's a great question. I think for grassroots, it's going to be a big boom. So grassroots participation levels at grassroots and for juniors especially it's at a very high number. It's one of, if not the most popular sports for participation rates around Australia, football.
Yep.
The really important thing, though, is how the federations, or how Football Australia, can harness this. Because right now, clearly, football is on a high in this country after what we've just seen. And it still will be through the next 2 weeks of the World Cup, because now it's gathered a lot of interest. So people will continue to watch the rest of the World Cup, even though Australia's not in it. It's the perfect lead up to the Women's World Cup next year.
Yes.
So everyone's got this great, you know, Aussie spirit supporting the Socceroos. The Women's World Cup now is, 7 months away? So there's going to be a similar buzz for the Matildas next year, which is awesome. the important thing is how the Federation can harness this. So they can't let this opportunity slip. It's going to be, it's going to mean a lot of, you know, taking, I guess, taking the, or making the most of marketing the game in Australia. And then a lot of the big thing is funding. That's always sort of the sticking point is funding from the government, funding from corporates has been a bit of a hindrance in the past with Australian football. So that's also going to, hopefully it makes it more attractive now for corporates to get on board. Hopefully it makes it more attractive now for broadcasters to get on board, because the TV rights deal with the A-League only just got over the line for the last deal.
Yes.
So hopefully it makes it more attractive, but it has to be, I think we're really going to see now the chops of Football Australia and how well they can handle this.
Well, the $13 million USD that Australia have been able to earn through qualification into the round of 16 certainly wasn't a line item that Football Australia would have been banking on. So that's all very well and good. Be interesting how that money is deployed over the next couple of years. Jordan, as I mentioned earlier, you've been fantastic for the SEN Network. Your calling of the matches, so passionate. Absolutely fantastic. Congratulations on that. Well done to the Socceroos. And I better get a tip out of you, actually, all the football that you watched. You're calling the final on SEN. Who's going to win it?
Well, my pre-tournament tip was Brazil. And I don't have much of a reason yet from what I've seen from Brazil this tournament to move away from that. They've been pretty efficient. They haven't really got out of second gear yet. They've played all their group games pretty efficiently. They lost their last group game, but they had already qualified by that point, so they played their second team. So I don't read too much into that. Their first two games are really good, though. They've got a game against South Korea tomorrow morning. That's their first knockout stage match. So Brazil is my tip. I think that they're on course to meet Argentina in the semi-final.
Oof.
I think whoever wins, that's going to be the super classico of international football. I think whoever wins that match will win the World Cup. So I'm tipping Brazil, but down sort of deep inside, I think I want Argentina to win just for the Lionel Messi story, but my head says Brazil.
Fantastic. Jordan, great with your time today. Appreciate it. And congratulations on what you've done across this tournament, and enjoy the remainder.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it, mate. Have a good day.
If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.